This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. Welcome to Sahaba Profiles. Today we continue the discussion on the life of the great Sahabi Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiyallahu an. In the last discussion we explained that his actual name, his real name was Jundub ibn Junadah. He came from the Ghifar tribe. They were known for highway robbery. The Quraysh used to pass his tribe en route to Syria to do business. From the onset, he was a man known to be very bold, very courageous, very outspoken. He never really worshipped idols. It didn't sit well with him. It didn't gel with him from his early days. And he was always in search of the truth. And he made his way to Makkatul Mukarramah when he heard about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, embraced Islam, and he was the first person to proclaim Islam publicly, to go into the Haram in front of the leaders of the Quraysh and to announce to them that he had forsaken the way of their forefathers. They beat him almost to death. Had it not been for the intervention of Abbas radiallahu an, the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now Abu Dharr, continuing the story, Abu Dharr remained in Makkah until he had learnt the basics from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then the Prophet of Allah gave him an instruction that go back to your people, now inform your people as to what you have seen and learnt from me and call them to Islam. And Abu Dharr did exactly that. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told him, the day you hear that I have prevailed and now I'm on my own and I got authority, then you come and you meet with me. So Abu Dharr went back to the Banu Ghifar tribe. His brother accepted Islam. His mother accepted Islam. He continued to preach the pure deen of Allah. That majority of his tribe accepted Islam. Then he went to a neighboring tribe, and the Bani Aslam, and he preached to them as well, and they accepted Islam. And by this time, the 13 years of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stay in Makkah had lapsed. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to Medina, and Badr took place, and Uhud took place, and Khandaq took place. And it was after Khandaq that one day the people of Medina were very excited. They saw a large group of people coming, and when they saw this large group of people coming, and inquiries were made that who are these people, it was told that the Banu Ghifar tribe have come and the Banu Aslam tribe have come. And Abu Dharr was the head of that party, and he brought them all to accept Islam now on the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And from then onwards, he decided to stay with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet of Allah always showed him a great degree of respect, always honored and revered him. He was one of those who accepted Islam in the early days. After the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had passed away, he moved away and he went to the region of Syria, Sham, as the broader Syria in those days. And he remained there during the period of the Khilafah of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu an and Umar Farooq radiallahu an. Now, in the time of Uthman radiallahu an, there was great prosperity, material prosperity. In the early days, in the time of Abu Bakr radiallahu an, things were very tough. We know about the conditions just immediately after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the time of Abu Bakr Umar radiallahu an, things were being established. Towards the latter part of Umar radiallahu an's Khilafah, and then flowing into the Khilafah of Uthman, now there were many conquests, many victories. A lot of wealth started to come to the Ummah. There were many new members in the Ummah. Many who had accepted Islam post the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and a degree of materialism started to creep in. People started to lead more comfortable lives, started to live more luxurious lifestyles as compared to before. Now Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu took a very strong and a very firm position in this regard. There is a famous verse of Surah At-Tawbah where Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, with regard, you know, a very painful punishment, you know, the branding on a back, like how an animal is branded with a hot iron to leave a mark so that the farmer can distinguish which are his animals. Allah says those who hoard gold and silver, those who hoard gold and silver, they will be branded with fire on their backs. وَالَّذِينَ يَكْنِزُونَ الذَّهَبَ وَالْفِضَّةَ وَلَا يُنْفِقُونَهَا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَبَشِّرْهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. Allah talks about a painful punishment. Now Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu had this opinion that it was not permissible for you to hoard any wealth, to save any wealth, to keep anything for a rainy day. Whatever you have, you either spend it in charity or you spend it on your immediate needs. There's no room for hoarding. And he would stand up. And the reason he took this very firm position is because he was very worried, seeing the level of materialism that was creeping into the people of the time. And he took a very staunch view. But because that was technically not the view of the other Sahaba, because technically it was permissible to save wealth and to keep wealth behind, you were not obliged to spend spent everything in charity, although the norm was that a lot was spent in charity by the Sahaba. And that verse was in specific reference to those who hoard the wealth which is necessary for them to part with, like the wealth that needs to be given in zakat. But because Abu Dharr had this view, and he was very, from the onset, he was a person of great courage and boldness, he used to repeatedly stand up in Sham and challenge people that, why are you hoarding wealth? Muawiyah radiallahu anhu felt it a bit difficult. He was a senior Sahabi. How do I handle him? So he sent him to the Amir al-Mu'minin, Uthman radiallahu anhu. Uthman radiallahu anhu tried to pacify him, but Abu Dharr was very strong on this matter because of the materialism that was creeping in. And then Uthman radiallahu anhu asked him if he would go and stay just on the outskirts of Medina, because there was a bit of tension building between him and the general masses. And the place name was Rabada, and he went and he stayed there, and that is where he passed away. But he was known as a Sahabi who was very bold, very courageous, the first to openly proclaim the fact that he had accepted Islam. He brought many Muslims into the deen, and he was a great ascetic. He was a person who always shunned materialism. He was a person who was very simple. One day somebody entered his house and started looking around and saying, but where's your goods? Ya Abu Dharr, ayna mata'ukum? That, oh Abu Dharr, where are the goods of the house? And Abu Dharr said, lana baytun hunaka, ya'ani al-akhira, nursilu ilayhi saliha mata'ina. He said, no, I have a house in the year after. Whatever is of value, I'm sending it there. I have a house in the year after. Whatever is of value, I am sending it there. So the great lesson that we learn from the life of this Sahabi and this companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is one of greater focus on the year after and a disinclination from the trappings of this world. May Allah grant us the tawfiq. That was Sahaba Profiles from myself, Sulaiman Ravid. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.